It's Kevin McCullough on AM 970, The Answer.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio. We've got a lot for you. Lots of stories we're developing this afternoon. We will go to Syria. We will talk about sex trafficking. The Koreas may be getting back together and technology. Here we go.
Fusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
As I was saying, a Technology Tuesday, Ari Zoldan will be here. Gordon Chang will join us to discuss the idea that both Koreas have put forward that they may soon reunify. Carol Markowitz of the New York Post will join us, and we start with a perspective on Syria you're not hearing anywhere else with Dr. John Eibner of Christian Solidarity International. Kevin McCullough, stay with us.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog
has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
He is playing the role.
As well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
I'm not sure how we deal with what is unfolding in the Middle East, particularly in the issue of Syria these days. It is very confusing. There's a lot of complications to it. And it seems like no matter what somebody decides to do, it's the wrong idea. Let me give you a point in case as an example. Mark Thiessen, who was a speechwriter for George W. Bush, writes today in the Washington Post that the U.S.-led airstrike, and it was very targeted and pinpointed. They tried to hit just buildings that contained the chemical weapons agents, but they didn't go after the Air Force planes. They didn't go after any of the private palaces of Assad. And on the grounds thus far, at least through official channels, human deaths in any of this. But these buildings that we hit may not have done anything. They're just now getting the international inspectors on the ground into even the Douma region to see the extent of the chemical damage from the Syrian attack a couple of weeks ago. So it's been kind of complicated. President Trump, of course, ran as a non-interventionalist, and people that supported him based on that idea were somewhat surprised that he launched these missiles. General Jack Keane, who was just with us a couple of times last week, is saying that the missiles that were launched by the multinational group were an underwhelming response and really served as no deterrent to Russia, Iran, or Syria to continue doing the things that they are doing. So I wanted to, and we've had several generals on, General Jerry Boykin and General Keane both, and I wanted to get a little bit different perspective of someone that's been on the ground and knows the area well. His name is John Eibner. You've heard him on my broadcast, and we've talked about persecuted minorities in the Middle East, and he is the editor and partial author of the new book, The Future of Religious Minorities in the Middle East. It is a very concise edition that has what looks like dozens of contributors that have written about different specific regions and issues facing the Middle East, particularly as it relates to religious minorities. And Dr. John Eibner joins us from outside the U.S. I believe he's in Switzerland, where he's sometimes is at. Dr. Eibner, good to have you back. Thanks for being here.
Great to be back. Thanks so much, Kevin.
So let me start with today's headlines. A lot of people in the U.S. are saying that though we tried to do something that sent a message to Putin and Assad and the mullahs in Iran, that in fact the missiles may not have accomplished much of anything at all. What is your perspective of the effectiveness of the international community's response to the chemical attack that was launched last week?
Well, it's hard to give a direct, clear answer to that when you don't know what the ultimate goal is. If you know what the ultimate goal of the American administration is in Syria, then you can judge whether these missile strikes were a good thing, a bad thing, effective or ineffective. But our goals in Syria have not been clearly articulated. Our goal, that is Christian Solidarity International's goal in Syria, is that Christians and other vulnerable minorities should be able to live in that country in peace and dignity and practice their religion. That, in short, is our goal for Syria. Others have other goals. There are big geopolitical battles going on, different national interests, imperial interests. Syria is a battlefield for all kinds of powers and principalities. And the people, poor people, all of the people of Syria are caught up in the mess. And this mess can lead to the extinction of the historic Christian community there. It can lead to there being no public Christian witness. Just surely some underground Christians would remain. That is the threat facing the Christians in Syria. But yeah. The administration needs to say clearly what its goal is. Otherwise, one can't measure the effectiveness of individual acts like these missile strikes.
Let's roll back the clock a little bit, Dr. Eibner, because the civil war has been going on for a number of years, and Assad is a very interesting character from this standpoint. He is an ophthalmologist, so he has a bit of medical training. He is seen as somewhat sympathetic because of that. I'm not sure that that's something that should be automatically credited to him, but I'm just saying this is how he's perceived. He has made the excuse that the reason he has to rule with such an iron fist is because it keeps order. But as you said, Syria has been a battlefield, and many of the, and it's not just Christian groups, but almost anything other than Sunni Muslim or Shia Muslim that is there has been expunged. So what is the current dynamic from your perspective on when or if it's going to be safe again for those minority religious groups to be able to live in peace? What has to happen for that to come about from your perspective of having been there and seen some of this?
Well, first of all, there has to be a restoration of peace. You know, as long as there is this kind of warfare going on, fighting the jihad groups and invasion of Turkey and missiles flying and chemical weapons attacks, people are not going to be safe. The Christians, even if they are not special targets, are going to say, we can't live in this place anymore.
Right.
I mean, already so many have left. They don't have to be specifically targeted for the Christian community to come to an end there.
Does Assad have to be removed? Does Assad have to be removed for peace to happen? From your perspective?
I wouldn't have thought it's a requisite. What I do know and what I'm sure of is that if he is removed in the kind of way that Saddam Hussein was moved, in an uncontrolled way, and in a way that where there's no agreement amongst the major powers there, then the chaos is likely to continue. There will be internal power struggles, and the sad reality is, since President Obama started the policy of arming these rebels, they're mainly jihadists. They have, in the course of the conflict, been especially radicalized. There are scores to settle. And just the removal of this man certainly doesn't guarantee peace. And what we're likely to find is that a removal of that sort would lead to the kinds of consequences that we've seen in Iraq, where the Christian community is really on its last legs now.
Right. Let's talk about to what degree Putin and Iran, Russia and Iran, can help or detract from this. Because I know what you're saying, and I've heard the same thing from some of the generals as well, that the rebel groups there's a ton of them, and they're so confusing because they all fight for different things, and they all think that their fight represents different things. That seems to me to be, an exact replay of Iraq if Assad is taken out. But I do think that Iran and Russia have a certain degree of interest in seeing him stay in power. And he is in some ways a terrorist as well. So how do you come about where you've got Russia? Well, and we're out of time. Doggone it. give me your best guess at what we should do, Dr. Eibner.
Well, I believe that the only solution is for the various key powers to have an understanding and to respect each other's interests as much as possible, and to try to come to an understanding where there can be a peace where Assad either plays a role or goes out. I'm not interested in that. His person is not the main issue.
Right.
And of course, if the Americans wanted to eliminate him, they could have done it with one of those missile strikes. So they have an interest. Washington seems to have an interest in not eliminating him. Very complicated.
Very much so. Well, Dr. Eibner, we appreciate your perspective, and we'll have you back because Syria is not going anywhere in the news. The book is The Future of Religious Minorities in the Middle East. It's edited by John Eibner, and, of course, Christian Solidarity, a group that I stand 1,000% behind. So, John Eibner, as always, it's a pleasure to have you. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Kevin McCullough Radio continues. A big, busy news day. Carol Markowitz from the New York Post joins me next. Stay with us at Kevin McCullough Radio.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
Cloudy skies, 45 degrees. What's going on? We have the answer. Delays on the Northern State Parkway, westbound at Glen Cove Road. Accident taking out two lanes. And not only is it backing up the westbound Northern State, it's backing up the northbound Meadowbrook, trying to get onto the westbound Northern State Parkway. Also pretty slow on the Bronx River Parkway, southbound at La Crosse County. Accident blocking a lane. Accident cleared on La Crosse Island, southbound by Northern Boulevard. 30 minutes leaving the city at the Holland Tunnel, 15 minutes in, 20 both ways at the Lincoln. Looks okay at the inbound George Washington Bridge, but Jersey bound, you have delays from all the approaches. Also pretty slow across the Brooklyn bound Brooklyn Bridge, and on the Merritt Parkway, there are delays northbound between exits 40A and B and 41. Pretty slow Manhattan bound at the Queens Midtown Tunnel. You now know how not to go. I'm Adam Walsky, AM 970, The Answer.
Larry Elder believes something needs to be done with Syria.
Quote, we struck a deal where we got 100% of chemical weapons out, close quote, said John Kerry, July 20, 2014.
The point is, this is a mess. If somebody like that uses chemical weapons and there's no response, what is it you're saying to other bad actors? What is it you're saying to North Korea? What is it you're saying to Iran? And so something has to be done.
The Larry Elder Show. Weeknights at 7, right before Joe Walsh at 9 on AM 970. The Answer.
Hey friends, Kevin McCullough. If you're feeling run down, don't have energy, it's because you're not eating the fruits and the veggies and getting the energy that they should be giving you the way you should, that you're supposed to. And that's why it's time to try Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in capsule form. They're not like vitamins with synthetics. These are natural food in a capsule, and they use the whole food. They got vital nutrients because they use 100% of the plant, the seed, the stems, fruits, veggies. It's all there. It's whole food nutrition. Each capsule has 10 servings of fruits and veggies. And once you start taking Balance of Nature, you're going to feel great. People report their skin looks better. They've got less aches and pains. But forget about that. If you're fighting the cold, the allergies, the flu, I'm telling you, it has worked wonders in my family's life. And I can tell you 100%, I do not miss a day taking Balance of Nature. It's time to improve the quality of your life, so get started now. Call Balance of Nature. They've got an offer you can't beat. 800-246-8751. Use promo code THEANSWER. You're going to get 35% off your first month's supply. Go to balanceofnature.com. Make sure you use the promo code THEANSWER. Good health is only a phone call away. You hear them say it all the time. Balance of Nature. 800-246-8751. 800-246-8751. The promo code is The Answer. It's 800-246-8751. 800-246-8751. Hi, Kevin McCullough. The next Salem Business Breakfast is on April 19th at the Wanaque Academic Center at Passaic County Community College, right off 287. Come for networking and a delicious breakfast by DR Catering. Steve Adubato will moderate a panel discussion on succeeding as an entrepreneur with Bernard Carrick, former New York City Police Commissioner, John Bramnick, assemblyman and partner at Bramnick Law, Susan Safis, owner of Rhino Shield of New York, and Phil Van Horn, CEO of Blue Rock Energy. Joe Piscopo and the AM 970 morning team will be broadcasting live from 6 to 10 a.m. at the college. Bring lots of business cards for networking and to enter to win great prizes, including an Apple TV. The event is free, but you have to register. So get your free tickets to the Salem Business Breakfast on April 19th at am970theanswer.com. That's am970theanswer.com. The Salem Business Breakfast is sponsored by Blue Rock Energy and L'Artigiano Gelato.
We all know the secret to the best Italian food is the sauce, and no one has sauce as good as Michael's of Brooklyn. Their sauce is made from scratch, using only the best ingredients. But don't take our word for it. Stop at any of your local supermarkets and pick up a jar, or listen to the Joe Piscopo Morning Show every Wednesday for a chance to win a whole case of Michael's delicious, authentic, and fresh sauce. You can also enter online at am970theanswer.com. That's am970theanswer.com. Good luck.
Proving that he may be ready for prime time. Frank Morano. Sunday mornings at 4 on AM 970. The Answer. Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
President Trump says you were writing the conclusion even before you interviewed Hillary Clinton. That is just wrong.
If you've been investigating something for almost a year and you don't have a general sense of where it's likely to end up, you should be fired because you're incompetent.
Well, that you did get fired, big guy. That's Jim Comey from the Sunday night disaster that was on ABC. And I'm interested to see what my next guest has to say, because we have not discussed since the special aired with George Stephanopoulos. But I did agree with something that she put on Twitter, which was, I think, Carol, you said, how does someone who got to be a press secretary for the Clintons for what, however many years or whatever, get to be the one that interviews him? And I thought, well, there's some logic in that mind of Carol Markowitz right there. That's why we love having her on with us on Tuesdays. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Kevin. How's it going?
Good. So yeah. They're saying that now Hillary's camp is all ticked at Mr. Comey, and they say that he's now lying.
Right. Well, you know, I know I'm in the minority here, but I feel sorry for James Comey. I think that he was trying to play things by the book during the election, and I think that the Hillary team just expected him and everybody else to be in the tank for her. And when he wasn't, I think they took that very poorly. I think he did the right thing. Exposing
He was trying to play it by the book?
I do. During the election, absolutely. Now he's on, like, off the reservation.
Let me go back to the day, the first briefing that he has with then President Trump. Trump had just been inaugurating, goes in there. He doesn't tell him that the dossier was funded by the Hillary camp. And he admitted that Sunday night on the thing.
Yeah.
That's playing it by the book?
No. This is during the election. During the election, I think he had no choice but to expose that there was an investigation against Hillary Clinton. And he had so much pressure on him not to do that, but he did it anyway. And there's something commendable there, because we expect our public servants to be fair like that, but the Hillary camp completely expected him to cover something like that up. That's why they remain angry at him. They think he cost her the election.
Well, I don't remember the Trump people being particularly pleased with him, because even when they found the Anthony Weiner laptop, they somehow were able to process the 800,000 emails or whatever it was in like 24 hours. I'm exaggerating slightly. It was more like 72 and maybe 80,000, but still, that was somebody reading an email like once every 2 seconds or something.
Yes, absolutely. There's a lot. I mean, the thing is that while I say I feel sorry for him, I think that he's so ego-driven and so vain at this point that it's all about portraying himself as this, like, the savior of, you know.
Now there's my Carol Markowitz. You came back to us.
Right. But again, I do feel sorry for him, because I think he was in between a rock and a hard place during the election, and he did what he could. But I think since then he has really taken a leap. And what really stuck out to me in that Stephanopoulos interview, in addition to the fact that I await the day that, say, Hope Hicks is interviewing, I don't know, the next president's, you know, somebody the next president fired ABC News. Let's watch that happen. But, you know, what stuck out to me was when Stephanopoulos asked him, could Donald Trump be compromised by the Russians? And he said, I don't know. And Stephanopoulos said, that's stunning. And he said, yes, that is stunning. And I was like, wait, what's stunning that you don't know? I mean, that he might be. Like, he has absolutely zero information and is speculating. And they're both stunned by his random speculation that has no basis in reality.
Yeah. So, well, if he is, if, but if he's an FBI director that has character, in the past, you wouldn't let that phrase slip past your lips. But you would make all of the evidence, if it had any that was true, available to the next guy or the DOJ or whoever, because you would know that it would be a very serious thing. So the fact that he's even talking about it is both an insult to the FBI and a revelation that his character is completely flawed.
Right. And the people who are saying, well, what if he knows something but it's classified? Well, that's even worse. That's even worse. If it's classified, then you really can't be talking
about
it.
You don't acknowledge its existence.
Yeah, this, you know, this, he could be compromised. No, I mean, show us some evidence or you don't speculate like that. You're not some guy off the street. You're someone whose opinion is supposed to have weight. And when you're speculating about something that you have either zero information about, or information that you can't disclose, he and Stephanopoulos obviously came off as just the witch hunt. It looks like a witch hunt.
But, you know, there's a piece of Jim Comey that's always been this way, and I had forgotten about it until I was revisited with this interview on Sunday night, and that was when he was assistant Department of Justice Attorney General. When he was Deputy AG, he filled in for Ashcroft for a very short period of time and tried to pull a fast one on the Bush administration while the Attorney General was holed up in a hospital, and they actually, I think Ari Fleischer had to go over to Ashcroft's bedside and have him sign something removing Jim Comey's authority from whatever it was he was trying to implement, because it went directly against what the administration was trying to accomplish. Do a little backgrounder on that. He's been a sneaky little snake for a long time, and I think that the cards are starting to fall on all of that upper class echelon group that was at the FBI under Obama, because McCabe, you know, the report on him came out last Friday. Mm-hmm. He lied four times definitively. And then everybody else, Strzok and Page and all those people, they've all been demoted, reassigned, or fired. And there's probably a number of others that still yet need to be. But, man, if Trump had not been elected, can you imagine how much worse this could have gotten?
Yeah.
I mean, we're uncovering all of it because, you know, they happen to not like the guy that's at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue right now. All right. Very interesting. Well, we'll keep watching that. I'm sure James Comey will make more news eventually sometime, knowing his penchant. Hey, listen, in the Post yesterday, you wrote Why We Are Forgetting the Holocaust. And I thought it was a great piece and a very good take on the subject. But for people that didn't see it, what's it about?
There was a poll last week about how Americans generally don't know that much about the Holocaust. They don't know, like, let's say, how many Jews died in the concentration camps. They can't name a single death camp, etc. And the thing is, people are shocked by this poll. And the polling had over decades proven the same thing. Americans don't know that much about the Holocaust. And the fact is, part of it is we just don't teach history in schools anymore. We've decided that that's not a subject that we need to focus on. And part of it is that, you know, it's just, it seems like we put the Holocaust with other atrocities in history when it should have its own unique place.
Yeah, no, I agree with both of those statements. And the not teaching of history in our public schools is going to make us a really stupid society in another generation or two, because we are forgetting everything about things we should never forget about. Anyway, go read it, friends. It's Why We're Forgetting the Holocaust. It's at the New York Post. Carol Markowitz, my guest, doing such a great job.
Thank you so much, Kevin.
Around on Tuesdays. Carol, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Kevin.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio, still to come. Gordon Chang and Ari Zoltan. Stay with me.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
Cloudy skies, 45 degrees. What's going on? We have the answer. One person has died in the emergency landing at Philadelphia International Airport. NTSB Chairman Robert Sumvald confirming that death this afternoon. The Southwest Airlines flight from LaGuardia to Dallas experienced engine failure. Police say a toddler was murdered in Mount Vernon last night. Detectives are speaking to the child's father. The 2-year-old was found unconscious by his mother at the Esplanade Gardens complex on Lincoln Avenue after she returned from work. Officials say the child's body had bruising and a swollen lip. and a 48-year-old man says he's lucky to be alive after being struck by lightning yesterday on Long Island. Through an interpreter, Jose Campos said the lightning did not strike him directly, but traveled about 20 feet from where he was standing outside a construction company. Doctors say he was hit with what amounts to greater than a million volts, and amazingly, he suffered no physical injuries. Checking sports, Yankees home tonight for Miami. The Mets host Washington. And checking your traffic, 30-minute delays leaving the city at the Holland Tunnel, 15 minutes in, 20 both ways at the Lincoln and the George Washington Bridge. Not a bad ride inbound, but Jersey-bound delays from all the approaches. Accident in New Jersey, northbound Route 1 approaching Plainfield Avenue in Edison. That's taking out two lanes. Westbound Northern State Parkway, a collision around Glen Cove Road, backing up the Northern State as well as the northbound Meadowbrook Parkway. You now know how not to go. Here's your forecast. A chance of an evening shower, lows in the upper 30s, mostly sunny tomorrow with highs in the mid-50s. Rain likely late Wednesday night into Thursday morning, lows in the mid to upper 40s, and Thursday showers likely, especially in the morning with highs reaching the mid-50s. You now know what's going on. I'm Adam Walsky, AM 970, The Answer.
Let's see here. Fire protection?
Check.
Uniforms, mats, and restroom products?
Check.
First aid cabinets and safety products?
Check.
Great! So it sounds like we're ready to go.
No. When I said check, I meant we still need to check on all those things.
Just call Cintas. They can handle all of it. It's what they do.
Okay. Call Cintas. Check. I mean, got it.
Oh, I'm ready!
Learn how Cintas can help you get ready for the workday. Visit Cintas.com.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. The next Salem Business Breakfast is on April 19th at the Wanacue Academic Center at Passaic County Community College, right off 287. Come for networking and a delicious breakfast by DR Catering. Steve Adubato will moderate a panel discussion on succeeding as an entrepreneur with Bernard Carrick, former New York City Police Commissioner, John Bramnick, Assemblyman and partner at Bramnick Law, Susan Safis, owner of Rhino Shield of New York, and Phil Van Horn, CEO of Blue Rock Energy. Joe Piscopo and the AM 970 morning team will be broadcasting live from 6 to 10 a.m. at the college. Bring lots of business cards for networking and to enter to win great prizes, including an Apple TV. The event is free, but you have to register. So get your free tickets to the Salem Business Breakfast on April 19th at am970theanswer.com. That's am970theanswer.com. The Salem Business Breakfast is sponsored by Blue Rock Energy and L'Artigiano Gelato.
Learn, love, lead. That's the heart of the student experience at Bob Jones University. Discover a university that's both academically challenging and spiritually encouraging. Learn from highly credentialed faculty who share your faith and approach everything from a biblical worldview. Be challenged to love God and others by getting outside your comfort zone and giving of yourself. Grow as a leader through opportunities on and off campus. Learn more online at bju.edu or call 800-252-6363. That's bju.edu or 800-252-6363.
AM 970, The Answer. What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Japan and ourselves are locked, and we are very unified on the subject of North Korea.
All right, not sure what that cut really illustrated, other than the president was speaking earlier today. And he actually had said just before that, in a sentence or two before that, that he would give his blessing if one of the biggest news stories of the day turned out to be true, which is that North and South Korea are possibly discussing ending their formal war that's been in existence since 1950 into 1953 when they ceased direct hostilities. But The Hill putting it this way, North and South Korean officials are discussing an end to the military conflict that's embroiled the two nations for the last 68 years. What does all of this mean? Let's turn to our resident authority on all things in the region. His website is GordonChang.com, and you may see him on Fox News and a number of other places. But Gordon Chang, it's always good to have you with us. Thanks for coming back. Is this good news, bad news? Is it fake news? Does it have too much left up in the air to be able to determine if it's real news? What's your take on this, Gordon?
Well, it's all of the above, Kevin. First of all, South Korea never signed the armistice. And so essentially what Moon Jae-in, the South Korean president,
And I guess Kim Jong-un, the North Korean leader, are going to do is to sign some sort of declaration to say that they will at some point sign a formal armistice and maybe even sign a peace treaty. But we got to remember, though, that North and South Korea are not the only two combatants. There can't be a peace treaty until you also get China and the United Nations to agree to it. So there's a lot that has to be done. And some people say that it's just as complicated getting a formal peace treaty to end the Korean War as it would be to get an agreement to denuclearize or disarm North Korea. There's a lot here, Kevin, that's got to be unpacked. And right now, all we have are two Korean leaders who actually want to do something but don't have the power to do it.
And that's... But that is a significant step in the right direction, is it not? I mean, the Kim family has not really gone in this direction for as long as I can remember. So I mean, you can't just discard it and say there's no there at all, can you?
Well, the North Koreans have consistently wanted a peace treaty to end the Korean War. And the reason is that they think that that is the first step to breaking the alliance between South Korea and the United States. Breaking the alliance is an interim step for what the North Koreans want, which is to take over South Korea. And so right now we have a South Korean president who is closer to North Korea and closer to China than he is to the United States. And he has a lot of pro-North Korean advisors. So this is an exceedingly dangerous time for the international community. You know, President Trump can say that he's giving his blessing to the South Koreans to do this, but the South Koreans would do it anyway because they're not consulting us on the major issues.
Right. So let me ask you this then. In the streets of South Korea, how does this play?
There are going to be a lot of South Koreans who are not fully on board with this. And the reason is that they are not, their president is a Korean nationalist. As a matter of fact, it's entirely possible that Moon Jae-in would surrender to North Korea. Not likely, but not also out of the realm of possibility. But many South Koreans, though, feel that they are South Korean nationalists. They believe that South Korea is their country, not Korea, as their president does. So they're not going to be happy with this because they realize that the viability of their democracy and their free market depends on the U.S. And they also now should have a suspicion that Moon Jae-in doesn't really care that much about democracy and really doesn't care that much about a capitalist society. So this is going to be a real big divide right through the middle of South Korea.
When is the next electoral process in South Korea, and how does this shape up if this is as divisive as you describe in terms of what would happen in that circumstance?
Well, I think probably the next big election in South Korea will be for the National Assembly, which is, as you can guess, the national legislature. It's a unicameral legislature, and I don't know when it is, except it's within several months. They're going to have important by-elections and some other ones. There'll be more general National Assembly elections, I think, towards the end of this year. Not positive about that. But the important election for president is going to be quite some time down the road. And Moon Jae-in can do a lot of damage to the alliance and can do a lot of damage to his own country between now and then.
Do the South Koreans have any recall mechanisms?
Well, they do. I mean, they just impeached and convicted their former president, which is the reason why Moon Jae-in is now president. Park Geun-hye was removed from office. Moon Jae-in was elected on May 9th of last year and was installed in office on the following day. So, yes, it can be done. As a matter of fact, South Koreans are pretty good at throwing their old presidents in jail. So there's a lot there, which... can happen. But, you know, they can't recall him over politics, and there is an important political divide. Moon Jae-in is trying to amend the Constitution so it's more compatible with North Korea's, taking out the word liberal and liberal democracy, also doing a number of things that are incompatible with the free market. So, no, I don't view North Korea and South Korea getting together as necessarily positive.
Well, and the fact that it requires those outside parties to also agree is maybe a bigger stumbling block than what the two leaders perceive it to be. But thanks, Gordon, for the perspective. GordonChang.com is his website. Follow him on Twitter at Gordon G. Chang. This is Kevin McCullough.
Hi, this is Jack from Banyan Hill. You might have heard about that $34.6 billion that's expected to be doled out in what we call freedom checks. Huge checks that are changing people's lives from coast to coast. People like Sean from Pittsburgh. In fact, he's on the phone right now. Sean, you there?
Yes, I am, Jack.
Sean, let me ask you, how do you like getting these massive checks in your mailbox every month?
Well, Jack, we used to put stuff on credit cards living paycheck to paycheck. But now, after we started collecting a specific kind of freedom check, I have to say, life's a lot more fun.
I bet it is. In fact, getting massive freedom checks is fun no matter who you are. And with $34.6 billion expected to be paid out in private, non-government money starting as early as May 1st, now's the time to stake your claim on some cash. To get all the details, go to www.freedomchecks127.com before the May 1st deadline. That's www.freedomchecks127.com.
There could be a thought that has gone through your mind that you want to spruce up your home and you want to make it look a lot better, but you don't want to pay an arm and a leg for it. You know, it could be very expensive. Doesn't have to be. Look at your blinds. Look at your shades. Look at your curtains. And ask yourself if you could do an upgrade. Select Blinds makes it so easy to install and score huge savings on blinds, shades, and shutters. And I know because I'm a customer. I love doing business with SelectBlinds.com. They take the guesswork out of ordering blinds online. They offer high-quality blinds, the likes of which you've seen on all your favorite home improvement shows. This is the interior makeover essential. I have blackout shades in my bedroom from Select Blinds. It was an incredibly good deal. It was so easy to get them up and installed. Shop today. Go to selectblinds.com. You'll save money. You'll work with a customer service team that is second to none. Remember to mention the Mike Gallagher Show at checkout using the drop-down menu. And let selectblinds.com upgrade your home today. Selectblinds.com.
Hey, I'm Brant. Maybe you've heard me talking about MediShare, but now I give you my friend Sherry.
Yes, I have loved MediShare. Loved it.
Is that all you have to say? Because this will be a really short
announcement. No, I really do love it. I've saved hundreds a month. And overall, I just think it's a better choice of a healthcare program for me. I'm really happy with it. And honestly, normally, I don't even like talking about this stuff.
Nobody does.
But MediShare is different. MediShare members share each other's healthcare bills. We pray for each other. It's a not-for-profit, so we all save money.
True. Tell them about the thing.
What thing?
The online thing.
Oh, yeah, I used that the other night. MediShare members can now access a doctor online 24/7. You can get a prescription for the flu or something just that fast.
So MediShare can save you hundreds a month. You get to be part of the community. You get a huge network of doctors and providers to choose from.
It's all pretty awesome.
It's all pretty awesome.
It's all pretty awesome.
The final verdict from Jerry. So call 844-41-BIBLE. That's 844-41-BIBLE. 844-41-BIBLE. Bible.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. My friends at Landmark Capital are going patriotic. They'd like you to win a $20 one-ounce Liberty Gold coin on July 6th. Enter by calling 844-604-2575. Contest runs April 9th through July 6th, and every entry gets the 2018 Financial Survival Kit, a value of nearly $200, at no cost to you. Enter by calling 844-604-2575. That's 844-604-2575.
Our hosts all look like GQ models. See them now at AM970TheAnswer.com.
Look around, how lucky we are to be alive right now. Look around, how lucky we are to be alive right now. History is happening in Manhattan, and we just happen to be in the greatest city in the world. In the greatest city in the world.
If it's happening in New York, or across the globe. Learn why it matters first on Kevin McCullough Radio.
So glad to have you with us. And on Tuesdays, we like to take a step away from the front section of the newspaper and go a couple sections down and start looking at the breaking news of the tech section. And this is really one of my most favorite segments of the week each year, each week, because it's none of it is life or death, and yet all of it I find fascinating. So we're glad to have you with us today. Now, I don't know, maybe it is life or death. Ari Zolden of Quantum Media rejoins us. Ari, there's a cleric that has declared a fatwa in Muslim circles. That's a threat against people that choose to buy their Facebook likes. Now, do people still do this? I know this was like hot, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, but are people still buying artificial likes on their social media?
People are, although it's not effective, because what happens in social media, if you have if you purchase a million likes, let's say, Kevin, and you only have one person engaging or responding or retweeting, you could see pretty clearly that those likes were purchased. So it's really today, it's about the engagement. But the story is, I think, I was looking at it, I read it twice, I read it three times, checked other sources as well. I thought initially it was somewhat comical that a cleric in Egypt would come out of all the things he could talk about.
Right.
Just to come out and to say, but, you know, and then I sort of backed off and I said, you know, it seems comical, but at the same time, I kind of respect that he's taking a position that it's, you know, again, is deceitful. I don't know, maybe it's certainly borderline that he's actually taking like a position and saying, no, look, it's not really 100%. I won't use the word kosher because this is in Egypt, but for all intents and purposes, it's not the most kosher practice.
Well, interestingly enough, I guess most people could agree with that, too. Many different faiths would say, you know, you shouldn't be misrepresenting or be dishonest in your presentation. But you're right. It is all about engagement. And I don't know. I guess I thought that was, you know, a fad a while ago, but it seems like it's died down now with the additional ways. And you know what I've noticed, too, Ari, is that for my own personal use, I used to be a heavy Facebooker. I'm really into Twitter now. Like, Twitter is really where I feel like I can get more response and more immediate discussion of things going. I still have my Facebook, and I like to do Instagram for the pictures and for the art stuff. But Twitter is where I probably spend the most amount of my social media time now. And it was not that way 2 to 3 years ago when Facebook was a little... I don't know. It seems like Facebook has tried to become such an engulfing universe. It's hard for me to, like... enjoy it as much anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I find myself often, obviously, I'm actively following you and retweeting a lot of your comments on Twitter, and I definitely notice that you're a lot more active there. You know, I think what happened with Facebook is that they've become a very, very large ad network, which means that we're seeing in our feeds ads upon ads upon ads, and I think it's taking away, in part, from the initial attraction that Facebook had.
Right.
You know, and Twitter too. Listen, Twitter's home to, you know, most of the journalists that are looking for sources, for experts, for breaking news. They first go to Twitter. You know, everything is very quick. I'm just finding also it's interesting. There is some sort of paradigm shift that's happening. And I used to be so engaged on Facebook, and now also my first social media go-to is Twitter. So I'm with you.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting? American Idol's back after being revived this year by ABC TV. And last night, or was it Sunday night? One of the two nights, Bobby Bones, the country producer and talk radio host, actually reamed one of the contestants because they're like, you know, here you are on a national television contest. And he goes, you're not social media guy. And he pulled up his Instagram. He literally had like one follower, no likes, no pictures, no profile picture. He's like, how do you expect to win this if you're not doing something? And then so he gave him like this little tutorial. Okay, it's Instagram, two pictures a day. You know, you got to write about something that's relevant to you. And like he made him like start doing that. I thought, wow, this is we really have entered a brand new universe. And at lunch today, I was with Ryan Batesel, a friend of mine who is the pastor at a church called Emergence in New Jersey, and Phil Boyce, my boss. And we were around the table and we were talking about how nobody knows what a cassette tape is anymore. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'll do you one better than that. I'm watching Zootopia with the kids over the weekend, the Fox and the Bunny, and they get into this limousine that belongs to the bad character, whoever that was, and they open the glove box and they pull out CDs, and he goes, hey, they were listening to this music on CD, but what's a CD? Nobody knows what a CD is anymore. And he threw it back in and shuts the door. And I'm going, okay, now they're just mocking us. Now they're just throwing it in our face that even digital media is old because it's not, you know, what's just exclusively on your phone.
Right. It's amazing. And you know, who would have thought, like, the Walkman would ever go away?
Right.
You know? I mean, CDs, you thought it was digital. It was digitally imprinting. Wow, you know, this is it. This is going to stay, you know. CDs went and everything went completely digital. Now you could think about, you know, if you think about what's happening next, and that's fascinating. And there's a lot of conversations out there about, you know, what sort of what's next, what's after digital. And I'm sure we'll be able to cover it over the next several weeks here as well.
Well, the other thing that you and I were talking about before we got on, NASA is sending, you know, some of their deep space capsules out. And I guess now more than 100 parts of that capsule are not going to be produced in a factory or production plant of some sort. They're going to be churned out on a 3D printer. This is rather remarkable to me, Ari, because they're sending stuff that they're making from a printer into space.
Right, right. And it's well, look, it's not coming from someone's basement or backyard, and it's probably a very, very big industrial machine. But nevertheless, there's going to be a time, and I think it's going to be sooner than later, that everyone will have a 3D printer at their sitting at their desk or sitting by their kitchen to be able to just reproduce any kind of spare parts. And yeah, the fact that they're actually sending it to space, I think, is amazing, because we know, space is really the frontier of all innovation as well.
It's so the final frontier.
It's
the final frontier. Okay, my Shatner is horrible. I'm sorry. I apologize. Ari Zolden of Quantum Media, always great to talk to you. Follow him on Twitter. Yeah, that's where he and I like to hang out, at ARIZOLDAN. And you can follow me on Twitter at KMCRADIO, KMC Radio. Ari, we'll talk to you again soon. Kevin McCullough coming right back. Final thoughts for the day. Don't go away.
In traffic, we've got the answer.
Cloudy skies, 45 degrees. What's going on? We have the answer. Accident in New Jersey, westbound 78, approaching exit 15. Another crash in Patterson, westbound 80 at exit 59. And you have a collision on 280, westbound at exit 4. Southbound on the Garden State Parkway, accident by exit 153, blocking a lane. Very slow on the Van Wyck, northbound from the Belt up to Hillside Avenue, and it's jammed on westbound 287 in Westchester through White Plains onto the Tappan Zee to the Rockland side. Northbound throughway delays continue up to exit 13. 30 minutes leaving town at the Holland Tunnel, 20 both ways at the Lincoln, and we're still pretty slow on all the approaches to the Jersey-bound George Washington Bridge, and northbound on 684 before exit 6 in Katona, you have an accident that is blocking at least one lane. You now know how not to go. I'm Adam Walsky, AM 970, The Answer.
Joe Piscopo here, coming to you from the Smart Way to Buy .com studios. You know, buying a pre-owned car can be scary. How do you know it's safe? Was it in a flood or accident? Can you believe the mileage on the odometer? Well, on the smartwaytobuy.com, you'll find the finest collection of pre-owned vehicles in the area. And you'll find peace of mind because every car you see on the site comes with a vehicle history and has gone through a 150-point inspection. Plus, each one comes with a 5-day, 500-mile exchange policy, so you can be confident it's the right vehicle for you and at the right price. Because the smartwaytobuy.com backs up every one of their already low prices with a 110% low price guarantee. The details are all there on the site. Discover the benefits of buying your next pre-owned vehicle, the smartwaytobuy.com.
Guess what? Right now is the perfect time to tackle those home projects you've been putting off. So come summertime, you can just sit back and relax. Home Advisor can help get you started. Home Advisor matches you to the right pro for the job in seconds. You can read reviews and even book appointments online. Home Advisor can help with any home project, big or small, painting, plumbing, even remodeling. Find a great pro now before the busy season hits. Go to homeadvisor.com or download the free app.
Home Advisor.
Have you ever had a legal question pertaining to elder law or estate law and wondered what's the best course of action to take? During Kevin McCullough Radio, you'll hear from Mike Connors of Connors & Sullivan Attorneys at Law, answering a real listener's actual question. If you have a legal question for Mike Connors, the Ask the Lawyer host, simply email the question to mikeconnors@gmail.com. That's mikeconnors@gmail.com. Or call Mike's office at 718-238-6500 and see for yourself. That's Ask the Lawyer with Mike Connors every Saturday evening at 6 on AM 970, The Answer.
Jay Sekulow, live, is next on AM 970, The Answer.
you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
So glad to have you with us. Big news day as we continue with Kevin McCullough Radio. Glad that we've been able to bring you these stories today that we have. Perspective on Syria you haven't heard anywhere else. Also, the interesting debate with Carol over what we got into in segment two today, and also the Holocaust article that she wrote. You really should go read that. It's quite good. Gordon Chang with his perspective on the potential peace between the Koreas. You want to believe the best, but you see the headlines, you go, I don't know if that's really... Yeah, he's not buying it necessarily either. And of course, Ari Zolden stopping by with the latest on the tech side of things. This headline also getting put out there just a bit ago. Starbucks to close 8,000 stores for racial bias training. Now, you know that this in part stems from the two men that were arrested in the Philadelphia Starbucks store. They didn't purchase anything. They asked if they could use the restroom, or they tried to, and they were prevented from. They refused to leave since they weren't buying any food. The Starbucks people asked them to leave. They did not. They called the police officers. The police officers came and arrested them with the charge of trespassing. And now the CEO has gone on TV's Good Morning America. He went on CNBC. He went on the internet. And he confessed how his employees are just racist, terrible, awful. It's really quite remarkable because Starbucks is the last place I think of when I think of all of those things. But nonetheless, they're going to close 8,000 stores to have training someday next month. So you won't have to go to work, make the coffee, have to go to work and get racial bias training. Hey, here's an idea. How about we just treat people equally, no matter who they are? And if it had been white guys that weren't buying anything and wanted to use the restroom, you didn't let them do it either. Done. One memo. Solve the problem. Moving on. But there is a better story I'd like to end on tonight. And it involves a young girl by the name of Lindsay Preston. She lives in the Bay Area in California. And she has always wanted to go to prom. But as a young girl with Down syndrome, it was increasingly unlikely that somebody was going to ask her. And so she got a date and said yes to him. He pulled up in a huge stretch SUV limousine. They snapped photos at the school. They danced the night away. And Don Jones, a defensive back for the San Francisco 49ers, took her back to her house in the stretch SUV limo all over again. It was truly a night to remember for Lindsay Preston, and a good guy, NFL player Don Jones, for making her dream come true. And that's much better than Starbucks and 8,000 stores doing racial bias training. So says Kev. I'll see you next time.